Time again for our regular weekly catch-up with RNIB Chief Executive Matt Stringer here on RNIB Connect Radio to talk about what's been happening around the organisation and, of course, news and topics relating to life as a blind or partially sighted person. Hello, Matt, and thank you for joining me this week.
Hi, Toby. Nice to speak to you again.
I thought we'd start this week, Matt, with news of, I think, a record-breaking number of ticket office consultation responses submitted, which I think is something like 680,000. And also there's been an extension to the review of the consultation to the 31st of October, which is, I think, good news for us as blind and partially sighted people, as hopefully there'll be time for those who have the power to actually read all the consultations and hopefully realise what an impact the ticket office closures will have on blind and partially sighted people.
No, that's right. I'm very conscious we seem to talk about this every week, but it's a very real issue and it's all unfolding in real time. So there's always another week's worth of content to talk about. But yes, I think with Parliament being back now, there's been a lot of activity this week where parliamentarians have been able to show their concern in person, you know, in the debate in the House of Commons and also in a sort of committee session. So, yeah, you're right. The original consultation, which was meant to be a sort of, you know, smash and grab raid for 3 weeks, got extended to the 1st of September. And in that time, as you say, Toby, there was something like 680,000 representations made through consultation. The thing we're really pleased about, you know, alongside a whole host of other statistics in this, is that something like 90% of MPs were contacted by a member of the BI community, you know, to express their concerns. So our, you know, our efforts to give people the sort of template to be able to express concern to MPs was clearly taken up by a lot of people. And so that would have been about 600 MPs. I think it was 580 actually MPs, you know, got representation from someone from the BI community to a large degree, prompted by, you know, the RNIB's campaign and sort of materials to use to do that. So, you know, we've really played our part, I think, within this great groundswell of concern about this. And we're keeping the pot boiling at the moment. We had a guided tour of the mayor of Peterborough and Cambridgeshire last week to Ely Station in Cambridgeshire, again, with the local team, Bernie Reddington and others, showing off, you know, quite how ticket machines were inaccessible to visually impaired people. And, you know, we will continue to sort of host those sorts of visits to really make the practical point, you know, because it does come to life when you actually get to a station and realise quite what we're talking about. We've had, for example, Wendy Chamberlain, who's a Lib Dem MP for North East Fife, you know, referencing the RNIB, and that was referenced on Nikki Campbell's breakfast show on Radio 5 Live. Marion Greenwood MP raising concerns of one of her constituents about ticket office closures in the Westminster debate. And I think we've seen some real heavyweight politicians weigh in, you know, clearly very concerned. I mean, Priti Patel, you know, ex-Home Secretary, you know, talks about being deeply angry and flabbergasted as she engaged with Hugh Merriman, the Transport Minister, who I think is probably teetering from all the feedback he's had. And as you said, they've extended the next consultation period almost to the end of October, I think, to buy a lot of time to work out quite what they do, because they've got to find a climb down and they've got to try and make it as elegant for themselves as possible. So, you know, let's see. But the extension of deadlines is only a good thing, because it shows they know they've got a problem and they need more time to sort of deal with it. And dealing with it is not finding another way to explain it, because they can't do that. It is finding a way to back down to a degree. And let's hope it's a big degree. But yeah, it's been a great, you know, multi-organisational campaign. But I'm very proud of the part we've played, in particular, you know, lived experience of the BI community expressed to MPs has really cut through. And we've seen that played back this week in Parliament.
And there was obviously support from our VI sector members as well. And I believe you were at a meeting of the quarterly VI sector this week at the Thomas Pocklington Trust offices.
Yeah, we have a quarterly meeting, a group of eight organisations that come together who sort of are, you know, you represent the sort of vast majority of sort of charities in the VI sector. So there's ourselves and Guide Dogs, Thomas Pocklington Trust, as you say, who hosted yesterday's meeting, Blind Veterans. And then we have Glaucoma, Retina and the Macular Charities, as well as the Visionary Group, who are the umbrella organisation for lots of smaller local societies up and down the country. About 130 small societies sit under the sort of Visionary umbrella. So it's a very, very full representation from the VI sector. And we've been going for about 3 years, initially prompted by COVID, but increasingly working on some more interesting strategic things. And so we had the meeting yesterday. And one of the things, you know, we do pull together on. And I think, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts is when it comes to things like campaigning on ticket offices. So we had some of the policy teams yesterday feeding back to the broader group on the work we've done on this and sharing the benefits of policy teams coming together to amplify, you know, messages, to combine through social media and other channels in terms of sort of getting consistent messages across, piggybacking on each other, you know, being able to mobilize our beneficiaries, everyone's beneficiaries together, you know. So that was only one example actually yesterday of, you know, the power of the sector coming together. And actually it sort of led on to a slightly broader conversation in that section of the meeting about, you know, broader parliamentary participation and influence. We play a big part in the all-party parliamentary group on iHealth, which Marsha de Cordova MP chairs, but we and Thomas Pocklington Trust help support some of the secretariat in that. And ourselves and Guide Dog, certainly backed up by one or two others, have got a strong presence coming up at the party conferences in the autumn, because this is an important moment in time to really try and influence politicians on policy, you know, in the likely run into a general election, probably in a year's time. So political influence at the moment is a really key thing that we're working on together.
And we must finish this week, Matt, with news that the RNIB's London office, the Grimaldi building, I think is up for a Civic Trust Award.
Yes, that's right. We're really proud of the new building in London. And I should remind people, you know, the first sort of one of our offices we moved and transformed was in Peterborough. So, you know, London came after Peterborough, and we've got head plans for Edinburgh at the moment. So we're generally trying to improve and make as accessible and as a great place to work as possible all the offices we have. But London was the most recent one. And so we're very pleased with our ability to use it as a platform to engage a variety of people. I had a meeting this week with one of our sort of main donors for education work, who was really pleased to see the building. We've had recent visits from people like the Metropolitan Police, and that's helped prompt a conversation about us helping them train, you know, literally tens of thousands of London police people on accessibility. You know, so all these relationships are great at giving us the opportunity to influence some important parts of sort of UK society. So we're really pleased with the building. And yeah, I'm delighted to your question that we've been entered for an award. So we've been entered for the Civic Trust Building Award by our inclusive design consultant, who are Bureau Happold, who helped us with the, you know, all the design and the fit out of the Grimaldi building, you know, all the accessibility features. So we're entered into this, I think, pretty prestigious award. And we have a number of assessors coming around on the 5th of October to come and sort of have a look at the building and see why we're so pleased with it. And I don't know what the shortlist is, so I have no idea whether we're going to win. But, you know, the notoriety, the profile that awards brings, you know, whether you're in the shortlist or, you know, great if you win, you know, again, just a great opportunity for us to be really trying to drive our purpose and our cause to a whole host of different sort of constituents. And the more we could do to influence design, influence architecture, you know, influence, you know, aspects of things like lighting and technology and sort of physical environment, then the better. So I hope we win, but it's a great opportunity just to carry on driving that influence. So yeah, it's good news.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed, and you'll be able to find a wide range of information and advice about living with sight loss on the RNIB website, and that is rnib.org.uk. You can always, of course, call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999, or use your Amazon smart device and ask dear old Lady A to call the RNIB helpline too. Well, thank you, Matt, very much indeed for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio this week.
No, my pleasure, Toby. Some nice things. As we said, September's quite a busy month, everyone back from holiday. And I think with our sector work, with the campaigning we're doing, with people, you know, continuing to notice some of the very positive accessible infrastructure we've got, it's been a good start to the autumn. Nice to speak to you.